saving money on all your electrical needs at Menards. From wire, tools, testers, and more, Southwire is the perfect choice for your next electrical project. They offer innovative products to help you get your project done right. Hurry in today and save big on all Southwire products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Cozy traditions feel good, especially this time of year. And that includes your fall makeup look. From lashes for days with liquid lash extension mascara to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Whether you want a simple, just gotta get out the door routine or fall glam that wows at all your favorite festivities, you'll always look and feel radiant with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. Complete your fall look. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics. CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Christmas morning 2022. How are you doing that day? Can you think back to 2022, all those years ago? Families unwrapping presents, sitting around trees. Brian Koberger was alone, downloading case files. Not on his own case, at least not yet. He was downloading the story of a man named Danny Rawling, otherwise known as the Gainesville Ripper, a man who broke into student apartments with a K-bar knife and slaughtered college kids in their beds. Seems like a story I've heard before. Investigators would later call Koberger's downloads educational, not voyeuristic, but strategic. He wasn't fascinated by the gore. He was studying how Rawling did it, how he got caught, and how he might avoid making the same mistakes, as he was very, very aware that police were closing in and his paranoia was slowly getting the best of him. This wasn't the first Rawling search either. Records show he looked into Rawling less than a week after the murders and then doubled down on Christmas night. And it wasn't just Rawling. He was looking at violent pornography too. Terms like sleeping and voyeur and, you know, dead, passed out, those sort of things. Fantasies that perfectly overlapped with Rawling's choice of unconscious victims. When you put it together, it looks like, or it looks less like casual research and more like emulation, more like copycat, more like wannabe behavior, as Olivia Gonsalves so eloquently pointed out. And it begs the question, was Koberger not only studying Rawling, but modeling himself after him? At the same time, investigators started wondering about staging. Rawling often staged his victims, creating disturbing tableaus meant to project his power. Koberger's crime scene was chaotic. Four victims, massive blood loss, chaos everywhere. Did he intend to stage it? Did he plan? Or did that whole plan to stage collapse because he ran out of time and wasn't expecting four people in the house? That's where we go with Jennifer Coffendaffer. The downloads, dark images, the staging, because this wasn't just a man Googling late at night. It was a man constructing a mythology for himself, a man who, even while investigators closed in, was doubling down on his obsession with legacy, or what he thinks is legacy, by following other people and copying them. So, Jennifer, when you look at the timing of these downloads, Rawling on the 19th and again the 25th, what do you see? Was this about learning or about living through someone else's script? Let's get into it. Then we get to what investigators found in Koberger's digital footprint on Christmas Day of 2022. While most people were with family, he was downloading the entire case file. of Danny Rowling, the Gainesville Ripper. Alongside that, he was searching for violent pornography. As you were talking about earlier, those words like forced, sleeping, voyeur, those sort of things, they certainly overlap with Rowling, who preyed on sleeping college students. I mean, it really is striking. Do you think Koberger knew more about Rowling than before Christmas Day? Because that seems to be the time that he starts popping up in his search history. But again, he did wipe a lot of it. Why do you think suddenly Christmas Day, after all this, he started digging into that specific case? Was it because the feds were closing in on him and he wanted to see how Rowling got away with it for as long as he did and just decided, gee, maybe now might be a time to start looking up that end of the plan?
Well, I saw back, I believe, Tony, on the 19th, he did a search also, if I recall correctly. And it makes me wonder how many other searches were done, but that he erased, you know, that we don't have this full trail. But even if you have two, and as you mentioned, downloading that whole file, I think he was, you know, comparing himself, right? Comparing himself. How did he do? How did he do things? And I think he was preparing for more. We know he was purchasing another knife. He wasn't purchasing another knife, I don't think, to just sit on the mantle. I think he had other plans.
With characters like Rowling and some of the others that Koberger was studying, quote unquote, they would stage a lot of the crimes at the end, set them up in specific ways. We know, obviously, this was a horrific, horrific scene by the time he got out of there. But somehow, amazingly, he, as far as we can tell, he did not have a trail of blood that followed him out of that place. And whatever he had on him, he obviously got rid of without anybody catching him. Are you surprised that this wasn't more of a stage scene, or did it just get too messy, you think, for Koberger? And I'm wondering if staging it was going to be part of it, but maybe that plan got kicked to the curb when he realized he had four people that he was dealing with.
Yeah, I really think he just ran out of time. And, you know, I was just reading one of Dylan Mortensen's report. I still have hundreds of pages to go through, Tony.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I just got hundreds and hundreds. I try to do a report a day. But basically, she specifically said he looked at her. He knew she was there. At least that's how she interpreted it. And I mean, I think he was worried about getting caught. I really do. I think he wanted to make sure he made an exit. So I think the time that he would have liked to have spent possibly staging, he had to spend cleaning and getting out of there with leaving less of a trail. I also wonder this, Tony, and I don't know if you've thought about this, but I truly believe his intention was to violate Maddie, minimally. But Maddie. And my whole thing is, obviously, he was very good about not leaving a trail, right? A forensic trail. I just wonder what his plan was for regarding that. You know, was he going to do something like what BTK did, where he would just masturbate beside the body, not interact with it, I think, because of evidence again. So I always wondered if that was going to be his intention. And I still think that was his probable intention, so as not to leave something behind that could connect him.
The thought that Koberger spent Christmas night immersing himself in Danny Rowling's story is as chilling as anything in this case. It tells us two things. First, that he wasn't retreating into guilt or fear. He wasn't shutting down. He was leaning in, building himself up, reinforcing the parallels between himself and a serial killer he seemed to idolize. Second, it tells us he was comparing notes, checking his own work against Rowling's, almost like a student reviewing an assignment against the answer key. And when you look at how investigators describe Rowling's obsession with legacy, it's hard not to see the same impulse in Koberger's behavior, one that probably is still going on to this day behind bars as he's taunted. Rowling left tapes, journals, art. Koberger left a digital trail of downloads, screenshots, and obsessive searches. Both men archiving their own pathology, desperate to be remembered, desperate for their crimes to mean something beyond the violence itself. It leaves us with a haunting question. What if Koberger hadn't been caught so quickly? What if, like Rawling, he'd been left free to escalate, to refine, to stage his victims the way he may have intended, to do a do-over with some other unsuspecting college women? But Christmas night have been just another research session in a series of crimes, each more theatrical than the last. Thankfully, we'll never know. But what we do know is this. Koberger wasn't just reading about Rawling. He was aligning himself with him. And that's what makes his Christmas downloads not just disturbing, but very revealing. Tell me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi to find us. Make that same search wherever you're downloading podcasts so you can take us with you on the go as well. Looking forward to your thoughts on those comments. What do you think he was up to? Are we looking too hard? Or is this just the tea leaves that are there that we're reading? And it's beyond tea leaves now. Now it's part of the novel. Now it's part of the book. The book that's filled with chapters from other killers, all melded together in one weird thing. It doesn't really tell us a whole lot about Brian Koberger, but a lot about other people and the influence they can have on a very broken brain. Looking forward to your thoughts. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.